Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Gorgeous George and Coz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on!
From the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, this is MMA Junkie Radio.
We rollin'!
What's going on, Junkie Nation? Gorgeous George and Goes reporting for duty here on a Thursday morning. Excited to talk to you for the next hour or so as we discuss the latest in mixed martial arts. Of course, the big news, the big story that we're going to cover here is UFC 296 taking place on Saturday. We have a watch-along scheduled, just like we always do for the big events. Myself and Goes, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, we'll be watching the fights along with you. And then at 10 p.m. and Eastern, 7 Pacific, when you have a decision to make, you either order it or you don't. And if you do, keep watching along with us. And if you don't, then watch along with us and let us tell you what's happening. That is the key right there, especially for those of you that choose not to get it. Although I find it hard to believe because this card is really, really stacked. Although on top of that, there is one big hit, and that's what we'll lead off with when we come back to start the show. I've always told you, Goes, I do like the drama that comes along with our sport, whether it's me laughing along with it or hating on it or whatever, but I do like it. And I was not only looking forward to Ian Garry fighting, because he's a great fighter, but I was also looking forward to the press conference today. He didn't do media yesterday, and that right there put up some red flags. If all that stuff's behind the scenes was just overflowing or something and causing havoc in his personal life. Remember, he said he's feared for his wife and kids' safety and all that. But and then I think he had a face off with Strickland, or words with it were exchanged. Security might have gotten involved. But hey, we had made it to fight week. Everything was good. Everything was fine and dandy. He didn't do media yesterday. And then later on, we heard he's no longer on the card. Apparently, he contracted the flu about 48 hours ago, and then it turned into pneumonia, and then his kid got it. So both he and his kid have made visits to the hospital. He said he still wanted to fight. The doctor said, hell no, you can't fight. And so he is off. But Goes, as much as I wanted to see the fight, and I really did, I also wanted to see that press conference. I wanted to see, I guess I wanted to see media day. I was so looking forward to that.
I think we're still going to get a version of what we were looking for. You know, we just don't get him being roasted there, right? Like, but they're still going to take their shots at him. They're still going to say their things. We just don't get his response, which, you know, that part sucks. The pneumonia thing, I'm a little confused on that, because you don't just wake up with pneumonia. You have, and if you had a bad cold, you would have to be very careless and reckless for it to turn into a pneumonia that quickly. Mm. So this is something that I think the UFC is probably pretty pissed about, because this is really, really late in the game to make this decision. And, you know, there's so many welterweights on the card. There's so many things you could possibly do that maybe had this gone down on Monday or something, I think they could have at least maybe gotten the ball rolling or something. But as of right now, I think the fight's just scrapped. You know, there's no pulling apart things, or I don't think.
I think that's the best bet, because the same thing you're saying is something that Chael Sonnen had said on his YouTube channel. And he pointed back to when Hamzat Shamayev missed weight against Nate Diaz. And Nate was pretty adamant about, bro, you're kind of coming from the middleweight division to welterweight, and I'm coming from the lightweight division to welterweight. We'll scrap, but respect the weight class. Remember Shavkat was like 8 pounds over? So they reshuffled the deck, and then he took on Tony Ferguson. Daniel Rodriguez took on, I believe it was the Chinese fighter. His name escapes me right now. And then Kevin Holland fought Hamzat Shamayev. So that was some brilliant work done behind the scenes by executive Hunter Campbell. At least that's who Dana gave the credit to. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking the same thing here. I'm like, okay, so what do we do? Because if you recall, when we did spinning backlick, which feels like ages ago, but when we did it on Monday, part of my intro was 9 welterweights will weigh in on Friday, but only 8 will perform because Bilal Muhammad's the backup. But Bilal Muhammad's the backup for the title fight. Now, could Bilal Muhammad be handed a check so big that he just decides to fight Vicente Luque again? Maybe. Maybe he feels like, oh, I own this guy, right? Or he could also say this is a big risk because if Luque touches me up, you know, everything's gone. I mean, right now, it couldn't be more next for Bilal Muhammad. He's got an 8-fight win streak. He's weighing in as the alternate fighter. I mean, and he already got an assurance that the winner of him and Gilbert Burns would be next, even though that didn't work out. So you just feel like that's just a ticket that's waiting to be cashed. Just got to find out whether it'll be Leon Edwards or Colby Covington. Unless, of course, it's this spectacular draw and they need the running back. That's the only thing. That's like a 5% thing. Would Bilal Muhammad want to risk it all? Now, what Chael said was, what if you go Bilal versus Shavkat, Thompson versus Luque? So the matchups are fresh, but you're also pitting two guys.
Well, Thompson Shavkat and Luque have fought, though.
They have, right. But now you're pitting, well, I was going to say that the first part was Shavkat and Bilal have not fought, and they're basically not a 1-1A, but Shavkat's knocking on that door. You know what I mean? So, you know, would Bilal want that? Because if Bilal wins the title, it won't take long before Shavkat's his opponent anyway, as long as Shavkat keeps winning. Now, I know I'm jumping around all over the place here, but that's what he was pitching, was that, because that's not as fresh, the fight you just pointed to. Thompson and Luque isn't as fresh as Bilal and Luque.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I'm not mistaken, they've all fought each other. But, you know, that's one way to do it, right? But again, would Bilal want to risk it? Would the UFC want it? Would Shavkat and Thompson be into it? Thompson, according to Chael, is not a big fan of last-minute changes. And you got to respect that because he's not chopped liver. He's a veteran who's paid his dues. He's fought for the title a couple times. So, you know, he's got to have a say in this. And if he trained for Shavkat, and that's a tough assignment, then, you know, that might be who he wants to get down with. Because he can steal all of Shavkat's momentum. If he fights Luque and beats him again, he already had that Luque momentum. If anything, he gives Luque the opportunity to even things up. But I don't know. Money talks.
It's a weird situation because at the end of the day, he's still the backup for the title fight. And that's what means the most in all of this, right? So right. Really, you know, let's just say you break everything up right now. Muhammad steps in. What happens if somebody misses weight in the title fight? Now you're back to the drawing board again in just a scenario that's got tons of chaos. Are you going to break up the card again and do that? I don't think they're going to do that. So I really just think they're going to scrap the card and Bilal Muhammad's right. Going to wait. You know, if I'm Bilal Muhammad, I don't know what I tell him. I honestly don't. Because I have to imagine it would be a big paycheck. But yeah, it's a gigantic risk at the same time too. So I don't know.
Mm. The only thing you can really do is offer money and promises. Listen, dog, if you do this, we'll make sure to give you this. The problem is the money comes through. There's no disputing that the UFC's got money. The problem is when they make those promises of, you're next or whatever, they can easily steer away from that. And how? By shoving more money your way or just telling you got to live with it. Or sometimes, to the UFC's credit, in my opinion, sometimes they punk you back. Because I think the fighters, look, I think behind the scenes, it's filthy, it's dirty. And so it always looks like the UFC's the bad guy. But I bet you there's lots of times when fighters are just pull shenanigans and the UFC has to just deal with it and do the show. But when they have a chance to pay you back, they will. Now, I'm not accusing any fighter of that, but I'm just saying that could possibly exist. And the reason we know this is because fighters have shared that with us post their careers or post, you know, 10 fights. It happened 10 fights ago, so I can laugh about it now or whatever. Anyway, I'm just disappointed. I really wanted to see the Ian Garry aspect of it. I wanted to see if Ian Garry or Shavkat Rakhmonov, if they won, if they did, in fact, somehow intercept Bilal. Not that I want that, but I'm just talking about all the possibilities that can and have happened in the past.
Yeah, come fight night, what happens? You know, what if he gets the mic? There's just so many. It was a good storyline going in, and it definitely sucks that we're not going to get it.
Yeah. And so, look, pneumonia, the kid, man, I hope the kid gets better. It's a little kid. I mean, I the kid doesn't look more than a year or two old. So, first of all, I hope the kid's all right. Same goes to Ian Garry. And I guess if him and Luque can start the year off, put him on that Toronto card, Toronto would be happy. Anaheim would be happy. You know, who knows? You said the word chaos. It was going to be chaos on Friday. Speaking of chaos, how about Colby Covington? Look, as much as I was looking forward to Ian Garry, I have been looking forward to Colby Covington and all of his antics. So he's got that Trump suit. He's already been wearing it. He's told everyone that if he wins the title, Trump will wrap it around his waist. I mean, he is all in on MAGA.
Mm-hmm. He was almost, I think we talked about this on Spinning Backlick, but it almost looked like they took a WWE character and said, you want to fight this weekend? And that showed up, right? It was like he was cutting promos left and right, except he did have a little slip there that didn't really benefit the president. But I'm excited to see him. It's been a minute. Like, it's almost been, what, 2 years almost since we last seen him? It's kind of crept up on us. Yeah,
because March will be 2 years since he fought Masvidal.
It's so crept up on us.
And he, say what you will about his antics, his shtick, whatever, his fights deliver. Whether it's him putting a clinic on someone for five rounds, because he's got that endless cardio, and he's just got a lot of activity, or the classics he's given us against Kamaru Usman. Remember the first fight, he was up 2-0, pretty clearly on everyone's card, and then Kamaru came back, finished him in round five. And then the second fight, I believe he lost the first 2 rounds. He was trailing, and he just got to the point where we all felt it was 2-2 going into round five. Kamaru won that one. So he's been that close against a great champion in Kamaru Usman, which tells me Colby Covington could possibly be a great champion. It might just be a, you know, they say the stylistic matchups it dictates a lot, right? As we saw, Usman lost twice to Edwards. It wouldn't shock me one bit if Covington had something for Edwards that he couldn't do on Usman, you know, and there's that little round robin. But whoever wins the last fight is basically in the best position. In this case, it would be Colby Covington as champ. I am a little concerned about almost a two-year layoff. He's now a little bit older. And at the same time, you know, Edwards does seem to be a pretty much a gangster himself, who just keeps getting better and better. And boy, did he sound confident. I'm not sure how many media interviews you caught. I caught both of those. But yeah, Edwards, just quietly in his own way, kind of had some good shots at Colby too.
He sounded like a champion. For the first time for me, Leon Edwards actually sounded like a champion, like somebody that had no doubt, deserved to be there. To me, he kind of won media day, if that makes any sense. Him and I thought Stephen Thompson said some great things, but he made me more excited for this fight, and it just felt like he really embraced the role. But overall, man, just those interviews were, some of them were bananas.
They were. And so I think today's press conference is going to be the same thing with or without Ian Garry. I'm sure his name might even get brought up. Gary's being attacked by Strickland and Paulo Costa, and they won't be a part of the panel, but you know, maybe these other fighters will say something. But at least you'll have the chaos between Covington and Edwards, I suppose. Shavkat's pretty reserved, Thompson's pretty reserved. Now there's two other fire plugs though, Paddy Pimblett and Tony Ferguson. Have you caught Embedded? Where are you on that? They've already released three so far.
I've seen one and a little bit of three.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I've seen one and I've seen the media days. So I still got to get caught up a little bit. But I've seen enough to kind of just know in which direction they're headed. Ferguson has no love for Paddy Pimblett. That's for damn sure.
Mm-hmm.
Pimblett was saying, hey, I actually was a fan of this guy when he was starting that streak. He was only 15 years old, you know, but this is a big name for Paddy Pimblett. Paddy Pimblett's going to be a dad, apparently. So now, has Paddy Pimblett said some silly stuff in the past? He has. And Ferguson, you know, at times is humble enough to say I'm on a losing skid, but then he still says a lot of things that you almost, if you didn't look at his record, you'd think you were talking to a guy that's still on a 12-5 win streak.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, his mentality has always been different from fight to fight. And I think I've mentioned this before on our show. It's like he'll tell you why he believes certain fights didn't go his way, but he rarely points at himself. You know, it's always something else going on in his life or whatever. And in this one, you got kind of a fiery Tony Ferguson. You know, he was sitting there and he was telling you about he's tired of being a nice guy, which to me kind of just seemed like the same dude he's always been. But he was very fiery, and I don't know if this makes sense, but when he's talking the way he does, I don't feel like it's us he's trying to convince that he still has something. To me, it's he's trying to convince himself. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, there was times where I was sitting there going, oh, okay, he's having some self-reflection. He talked about a text from his wife. But really, that didn't talk much about the physical stuff going on. It was just, hey, you're not smiling as much in practice. And so he told the story about that. He had no answers for it. And so he had to look deep inside and this, that, whatever. And so, yeah. And then all of a sudden becomes Tony Ferguson again. You know, now you're going to see a real Turk in Tony Ferguson. And now we shouldn't be surprised because my man's got an ego, you know, and I think is going to find it hard to say, you know, how about that? I've lost six straight. That's pretty bad, right, guys? You know, he still points to the stuff going that went down when he was supposed to fight Khabib. And
But it's David Goggins that's going to come save the day this fight, right? At no time does he ever say, I realize I just have had kind of bad game plans or I haven't executed my game plans. Right. It's always something else that's coming in to save the day. And this particular fight, it's gotten.
That's true. He doesn't point to the tactics. And you know what? Here's the thing. I guess he has said it a few times. We're talking about six fights here. There have been some times that Tony Ferguson looked good in some of those fights.
Mm-hmm.
The end result, what didn't go his way. And he's older, and it's gotten viciously finished in a few of them. But he hasn't performed bad. So some tactics have been there. It's just, I think a lot of it is probably the age. And yeah, him switching camps hasn't necessarily been the solution. Sometimes he points to it, sometimes he doesn't. I don't know. It's a little frustrating. But let's see what happens today at the press conference. Him and Paddy Pimblett should be fun. Leon and Colby Covington should be fun. And had Ian Garry been there, this might have been one of the press conferences I was looking forward to the most. You know, in a long time, because there was so many different aspects to it all. But Saturday night's main fight, the whole fight card is really, really nice. Sometimes we let the UFC have it when the cards aren't as nice, but this one's really, really, I cannot complain. Even with Garry and Luque falling off, mm-hmm. It's like it really almost doesn't take a hit, even though it does, because that's how deep the card is. So I'm ecstatic about that. It's a good way to finish off the year. It's still welterweight heavy. And like I said, there's still a lot of side plots to it all. But what can you do? I mean, I think, like I say, you could reshuffle the deck and make use of Bilal Muhammad, but he'd have to be on board, and then all the fighters making switches would have to be on board. And like I say, sometimes the money does talk, and it wouldn't shock me if it happened, but I don't think it's going to happen this time. I think they're just going to preserve that matchup and just say you two in January or February.
I don't think it will, because even if you could somehow convince Bilal Muhammad to do this, you still put the main event at risk, and you still have to deal with Stephen Thompson, who's clearly in the past not wanted to play ball in these situations. It just seems like a lot. I think it just gets scrapped.
Probably the best. I would agree. Yeah, so folks, Ian Garry out of Saturday's main card fight against Vicente Luque. He fell ill. This was confirmed by Dana White. It had been talked about online. I had heard it from Chael Sonnen. And then I always like to try my best if we can find like some of the sources out there who hustle. And so there's a YouTuber, Jesse on Fire, who apparently had heard stuff behind the scenes as well. But I had only seen what Chael said according to a text that Ghost sent me. And I kept looking on Junkie to see if it was confirmed. And then a short time afterwards, it was confirmed. Luque was classy, goes towards Ian Garry, and they're former teammates, remember. But Luque, I think, just focused more on the family aspect and just said, hey, man, that's the most important thing for the family to get better and get healthy. And, you know, and that's kind of how it should go down. And remember, you don't get paid if you don't fight. So that's why I kind of gave Todd Duffy a pass a few weeks ago. Even Ben Rothwell, I think, kind of gave him a pass. Because if you recall, Ben couldn't fight because he was ill, you know, except Todd Duffy started saying, Thanksgiving, not going to make weight. So maybe he stepped over bounds a little bit because, as Ben Rothwell pointed out, I don't miss weight. So I don't know why he's saying that. But
this one's rough, though. Like, these are always a little different because you're so close to the holidays, you know, on top of how difficult it is to be a fighter and how difficult it is to go through a camp. When you go through this particular camp where you got to miss Thanksgiving and possibly, Christmas still coming, right? But they're just a little bit more difficult. You have to imagine these guys are human too. You know, who knows? Maybe they're thinking, I'm going to take all this money and I'm going to go out and buy Christmas gifts and do this and do that. And now that money doesn't come in. And that's got to suck for Vicente Luque. And you talk about how much class he had going into the situation, even finding out Garry was out, like, he was still pretty classy dude.
Yeah, exactly. And for a lot of people, and I know this because I'm in Peru right now, so right now it's obviously there's gonna be a Christmas here as well. But guess what's happening on Friday? Goes Friday and Saturday, the kids are out of school. That's their 3 month summer vacation starts this week. So you got Christmas, you got summer vacations, you got the kids that do work and travel. And so, you know, for example, Vicente Luque, I'm not sure where his full-time residence is. I think he lives in Brazil, has a father from Chile, but also spends a lot of time in Florida. But regardless, yeah, for some people, it is an actual summer vacation along with the Christmas and New Year's. So that part does have to hurt a little bit.
Yeah. It's unfortunate, man.
That's why I think usually what fighters want to do is just extend the camp. All right. I think it's January 20 or something like that when they fight in Toronto. So you rest a week and then you just keep going on the camp. You don't get out of shape and you fight as soon as possible so you can get paid.
The thing with Garry, though, is pneumonia is just so much more taxing than a regular cold that it can leave damage, you know? So I don't know. I don't know how quickly he can. I don't know how bad this got. You know, your lungs can get scarred up. There's a lot of things that can come out of this.
That's true. That's true. He can't just dismiss it as a common cold. I will say this, though. These fighters are pretty amazing at just recovering.
Mm-hmm.
They're very, very healthy. And so their ability to recover is like I say, pretty amazing. We'll see. We have to get through this card first and see how this thing goes down. I like Covington's shtick in that he hasn't gone away from it. Here's what I mean by that. So obviously he is on Team MAGA, Make America Great Again. He's very fond of former President Donald Trump. He's brought the belt to his office. He's hung out with him at Mar-a-Lago. And Trump has been to some of his fights. And so doesn't surprise me one bit that he signed his suit and that he plans on being at the fights. And then, of course, maybe even putting the belt on him if he wins. What I am amazed at is that he stuck with him. So on the one hand, I applaud his loyalty, sticking to the shtick. I'm sure a lot of it has to do with in 2024, if Donald Trump wins again, then, hey, one of your best friends in the world is the president, right? What I am amazed at, though, was did he ever at one moment just go, okay, I took it too far. This guy's been indicted. You know, this isn't going the way that I thought it might go. Why don't I just cause chaos by picking fights with others and not, you know, maybe abandoning that? But, man, he's been even more all in than ever. Remember when he came to the studio and he had those stickers and he put stuff on our – I actually saw one the other day because I kept a few of those.
He – at any moment, though, you know, we mentioned pro wrestling, like he's the type of guy that can just completely flip it around and change the narrative, right? He could even turn heel against Donald Trump. Like, you just never know with Colby Covington.
I thought he would, and I thought it would have been one of the greatest heel turns in the history of combat sports, and that includes pro wrestling. If this guy somehow would have said, you know, you lost the vote, the election, I don't hang out with losers or something. And all of a sudden he became blue and Team Biden. Holy cow, goes, this would have transcended a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, man, he might have gotten hurt. Who knows? Because it's that political game is a little crazy, right?
But that could be scary, though, no? Like, what could a former president do to you if they didn't like you?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember the time when we knew Colby better and saw him more often. I don't remember him being the type that really talked about politics much or his values or anything. Like, I mean, that's why I believe a lot of this just was shtick. And then once he really got close to it, I think it was just intoxicating, like I say, to be close to one of the most powerful men in the world.
Yeah.
Anyways, all right. So Goggins with Ferguson. Goggins is going to corner him. And, that didn't shock me, actually, to hear that. So he's going to corner him. It was interesting to hear Tony talk about it and how much he got pushed and the way he was treated. He said he wanted to get yelled at. And he said Goggins definitely delivered on that end. He also said, for those of you that are saying, all right, he's going to have you in shape, great, you know, but what about your other stuff? That part he was a little bit more dismissive of. In fact, those little exchange with Nolan King, which again, Tony can go for 2 minutes being pretty smooth, articulating his points, saying what he needs to say, and then all of a sudden he can flub up, man. So Nolan King asks him a question. He starts to, you know, answer it. He thinks about it, and then he goes, what do you think? And then Nolan starts to reply. And he goes, whoa, hold on a second, brother. I'm still talking. Now, I thought he was going to laugh it off, kind of like, I remember when I did that to Verdum, because he did that to Verdum, those exact words. Hold on a second, brother, I'm talking. And then, of course, they got heated. They had a little heated moment. But no, he was kind of serious. And then he was almost like, you guys asked me a question, I got to answer. You know, I was wondering if no one was going to take the mic and go, bitch, you asked me the question. Mm-hmm. I asked you a question, but then you asked me, so I started to answer it. But it's not the reporter's job to do that. I would do it, that's for sure. I'm not a traditional journalist in any way, but I think I would say, you asked me the question, so that's why I was answering it. But yeah, it is your stage. You know, you don't drag it on. But did you catch that?
I didn't see that part, but we talked about it. We were all together for a dinner, and that was a topic that kind of came up. It's just, I don't know, like in a way it's probably shocking, but in another sense, you're probably like, it's probably not, because it's just Tony Ferguson. But Nolan, of all the people on our staff, is probably one of the better guys at just rolling with the punches. Probably you and him were on that Mount Rushmore. And so he just, you know, he's up for Journalist of the Year. Like, he's not that young kid that we always talk about. So
well, that's tonight, kinda, huh?
Yeah, that's tonight. He just kind of rolled with it. Huh?
You going?
I still haven't decided yet.
Oh, okay. Who's going? Nolan, Simon?
Mm-hmm.
How about Dan and Kenny?
I don't think so.
Well, Kenny will probably be there because he's got to work the cameras and stuff, right?
Maybe the red carpet, yeah.
You should try and go. I mean, I know it's been a long week, but I think once you're there, a couple drinks and you'll be having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, hopefully Junkie wins. In fact, I got to get the info to see, is this being streamed? What do we know? Is this UFC Fight Pass? Now we do have live streams. I think 1 year was on CBS Sports. I'm going to see if I can find it before we exit today's show. Or do you happen to know?
I'm not sure, but I know, like, timing-wise, it's kind of a mess because the press conference is, like, at 5, and I want to say the red carpet over there is at 5, and it kind of overlaps a little bit, too.
This is the 15th year. So, let's see here. Behind the scenes, and I'm on their site, but nothing jumps out at me as far as, hey, this is the deal, this is what time we're on, or nothing like that. The live event.
There should be some streaming thing, I think.
It's at the Sahara Theater. In the past, the public's been involved, or, you know, allowed to go. Here we go. TV partners to be confirmed. Okay, so there you go. There's still nothing. Wow, that disappoints me a little bit, because last year the TV partners were ESPN2, ESPN+, CBS Sports Network, NBC Sports. The year before, CBS Sports Network, NBC Sports, and ESPN+. And on some of those, it's just like replays and stuff, right? But one of those did carry it live. Mm-hmm. And I felt like we had gotten to the point where this thing needed to be live. Now, that said, I always tell it like it is. And I felt like the production is still, like, it hasn't evolved. I would like to see them evolve it a little bit. It seems to be kind of like the same script. And some stuff still works. Like Adam Hunter, the comedian, does a lot of skits. And a few of those become, I mean, awesome. They're viral, right? And we all have a good laugh. And then some are just, you know, okay. But they just kind of still just have that same rotation. I don't know. I feel like that could be lifted somehow by working with a partner, an actual television partner that does the production side of it. I wish they could get to that because it's 15 years. And look, we're a pretty major sport nowadays. And usually a lot of the big stars are there. So why hasn't this taking that next step? I don't know. Hopefully it does. Maybe I'll get surprised tonight. But the fact that they can't even tell us if there's a TV partner, that kind of bums me out because the world of streaming, come on, man. Fight TV, ESPN+. Just YouTube alone. Yeah, look at what Masvidal does. He's like, just get it for free on my YouTube channel. All right, put it on that at least. You know, who knows? But even further to that, once you had some of these networks involved, you know, how are they just not, I don't know, not to disrespect one championship, but unless their big guns are fighting, I'm not tuning into Amazon Prime to watch it, but somehow Amazon Prime thought enough of them to have them on, you know? Same with NFL Thursdays or whatever. So fighters only, I hope they wind up somewhere that I can watch it all the way here in Peru, and I hope Junkie wins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good luck to everyone.
The watch-along is this Saturday, folks, 10 p.m. Eastern. 7 p.m. Pacific for the main card. That's the pay-per-view portion. We'll get in there a couple hours early and watch some prelims with you. And the deck has been reshuffled a little bit. But you still have the two title fights are preserved, right? We haven't really mentioned Pantoja versus Royval. And, of course, we still have Edwards versus Covington. We lost Ian Garry. We lost Ian Garry versus Vicente Luque. Shavkat Rachmaninoff versus Stephen Thompson is the featured bout, number 3. Number 2, Tony Ferguson and Paddy Pimblett. All right. And replacing Ian Garry and Vicente Luque is Josh Emmett versus Bryce Mitchell. Irene Aldana and Carol Rosa, along with Cody Garbrandt versus Brian Kelleher, Casey O'Neill versus Ariane Lipsky, and Alonzo Menafield versus Dustin Jacoby. Those are your featured prelims. And Goz and I will be with you guys for those four and the main card. And then even the undercard has some really great fights. Randy Brown versus Muslim Salikov, Andre Feely versus Lucas Almeida, Tagir Ulanbekov versus Cody Durden, Shamil Gaziev versus Martin Boudet. So you cannot complain about a card like this, folks. Hopefully you guys tune in for the watch along. Oh, thank you.
It's crazy in the sense that it's nice because Vegas feels like it has a little bit of a pop again. And that's been hard to get back since COVID.
Yeah.
But you got your World MMA Awards. There's an LFA at the Palms. There's Karate Combat.
Oh, on shit.
Friday night. And then you got, of course, everything that has to go with the UFC. So it's like, it really does feel like a big fight weekend.
Man, that sucks that LFA and Karate Combat are going head to head.
I believe so, yeah.
Wow. Have you decided on either one of those?
I'm going to try and go to Karate Combat.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, we've been to a lot of LFAs in California, and I can't remember if they've been to Vegas before. And it's a fun show. I'm not saying anything about it, but yeah, Karate Combat. Now that's a show where I've never been, but yet their highlights, their production really sells it to you. Like it really makes it look like, whoa, this is an exciting night of fights. Now one may get there and go, oh, it drug on from fight to fight, and there was too many commercials or too many, you know, lulls in the action or whatever. Like, that's one thing. You guys all know how I feel about the power slap. I'm just not impressed. And so some people are like, no, it's pretty dope. But they'll always say this. However, there is one thing. When you're there, it does kind of drag on. And I thought, that's kind of weird. How hard is it to just drag the next two out, slap each other? All right, thank you for your time. Mm-hmm. Bring out two more. You know, it just seemed like you could bring them out in wheelbarrows. You know, like how much of a actual – lead in does there need to be, you know?
They might as well. They probably have to scrape somebody off the floor, put them in a stretcher, bring out the next guy.
Yeah, exactly. But hey, look, I hope you have a good time, and I hope you get to, you know, one or any of these and just sleep in on Sunday or whatever. But it's great that Simon's in. It's great that Nolan King's in. He's the guy that is up for Journalist of the Year for MMA Junkie. So that's awesome. We're cheering for him. And he is also the guy that got checked by Tony Ferguson yesterday. So if you go to youtube.com/MMA Junkie Video and go to Tony Ferguson, it actually happens pretty early on. He's asked the question, flips it back on the reporter. And when the reporter starts to answer, he's taken aback. Oh, hold on a second. I'm talking here. You know, you ask me a question, I'm answer it. And Nolan just took that one on the chin. But man, I'm telling you, it was like, well, you asked me a question too. It kind of reminds me of Menace to Society when he knocks on the door. He goes, what are you doing here so early? You told me to come here. He goes, I don't give a fuck what I said. You don't give a fuck about what you said. So now going forward, anything we talk about, I shouldn't pay attention to you, because not even you give a fuck about what you said. That's kind of what it reminded me of.
I was talking about it with him on the way home yesterday, how ridiculous it is that, because you have to remember, like, you know, what happened to him, but it wasn't that long ago that Matt Wells, you know, and Dana, right? Like, this is the only sport where you could do your job the way you're supposed to do your job and still come out looking like you've done something wrong or you're the bad guy, right? Like, when do you ever see Adam Silver or Roger Goodell do anything near some of the things that come out of Dana White's mouth? Or, you know, even every now and again, you'll get a LeBron James or a Russell Westbrook, someone like that, like saying things to the media. But it's just not that common for the most part. You know, you ask your questions, they give you your answers. They're professional athletes.
In that instance, Dana had just told him, oh, I was in Maine or I was in Boston. So I didn't know about these things that had gone down. I think it was some public spats in the hotels and this and that. I mean, he is the president of that company. Mm-hmm. But yet then he has the nerve to tell Matt Wells, well, shouldn't you know what the ratings are? I mean, I don't know that Matt Wells ever announced himself as some ratings expert. I mean, he covers the sport. And sure, Junkie at one point used to come up with the ratings, used to do a lot with the ratings, and we discontinued it for a reason because UFC would say that we weren't doing it right or whatever, which basically translates into we just weren't pointing out what they wanted to get pointed out. So it got discontinued. But those pieces actually used to do well. This was like almost 10 years ago that we discontinued it. So, yeah, so that's why Matt said, well, we weren't even talking about the ratings, you know, like he actually answered them pretty professionally. Very. Yeah, you know, I just ended it with, you're that guy. You're that guy, you know. You should know it's part of your job. Well, you should know, too. It's part of your job as president to know why fights are breaking out in the hotel. I mean, if you want to apply the same logic, right?
And all you do.
Aaron Morgan used to get clowned a lot, too.
Yeah. And Dana White's a guy that.
Kobe's always trying to make him do his 10 push-ups, so I don't know if that's going to happen to him still or what. But
and Dana White's a guy that's constantly trying to tell us nothing happens here without me knowing. So it's like,
I know everything. You guys think you know everything, but you don't know everything. I know everything. All right, well, what happened here? I don't know. I was in Boston. Mm-hmm. My goal goes one day is to get Dana in studio. So we can have a conversation about that. But I think we could handle it in a way where we're like, hey, before you get upset and get your panties twisted up, let's just talk normal and we can answer some of these questions because we're just curious. And if you can share some stuff, great. And if you can't, we get it, man. Businesses don't reveal all their secrets. But a lot of times, none of this gets done because of this humongous ego, right? Or this defensive thing that happens. Why? Because earlier in the day, he's putting out so many fires. I think by the time he gets to the media, he takes it out on the media. But in reality, you know, the media isn't there to choose sides. Fighter said this. What do you say about it? Promoter said this. Fighter, what do you think of that? You know, whatever.
Mm-hmm. But you also have to distinguish the difference between media and other people. It's their fault that there's a mixture of all these characters in the room, but they're not all the same. And he judges everyone as the same. And that's just not the case. I think that's one of his biggest flaws in this argument is he wants to hold everyone to the same standard, but he's not bringing in everyone of the same caliber. You know what I mean? You can't have a room, filled with doctors and surgeons and then mix them with medical assistants and physician assistants and then hope everybody's on the same page. You can't do that. Everybody has to be on the same page, and that's not how this is laid out. So like some dude that just maybe said, I took a medical course. So he comes in there and he says something stupid and now all of a sudden everybody's stupid. You know what I mean? And that's not how things play out.
Yeah. Let's wrap up on a good note. UFC 296. I don't know if you have it already on one of your screens or not. I can go through it again, but I am really anxious about this card. But I want to ask you, what are three things that you're just, I mean, jonesing for? Like, I can't wait, like a little kid waiting for Christmas morning so he can unwrap his gifts. It could just be three fights themselves or some subplots. Well, what do you just can't wait? Goes like, what's really, really going to get your, you know, your engine running?
Number one is Tony Ferguson. What is going to happen? Because he's basically fighting for his job, in my opinion, and not just fighting with his job with the UFC, but I just think overall, like, I don't know if he takes a loss, especially if it's a bad one.
Yeah,
I don't know that PFL is just going to say, come over here, dog, and do that over here. They might just be like, hey, I don't know if we want to deal with all this, you know, that comes with Tony Ferguson. So that's
If he wins, will you be happy for him?
Yeah.
Media biases aside, just as a fan, will you be happy for him?
Yeah, because at the end of the day, he does give you everything he has.
Yeah.
You know, yes. For the sport, and you have to respect that. So I am happy about that, but I want this guy to be okay 10 years from now, 12 years, 3 years from now. So if he wins and that's it, I think I'd be really happy. But if he wins and honestly thinks like this is the beginning of a run, like I don't want to hear those types of things.
Yeah, it would be fun to win and exit with a great paycheck and a bonus or whatever. Because you're right, I don't see a title run. You know, I don't see a title run here. But to exit on a win would be nice. Okay, so that's one. What's another? What's the other two for you?
The main event is very, very interesting to me, right? Because you know, it's an opportunity for a guy like Colby Covington to be an undisputed, and boy, does that usher in a new era. You know, he's saying he won't fight Bilal Muhammad. That's hilarious. I mean, I don't think he has that kind
of
power.
Why won't he? I didn't hear that part. Why won't he?
He just doesn't like his views, his political views and things like that.
Oh, my God. Okay.
So that would be interesting. You know, do they bring Bilal Muhammad out? I feel like at some point between now and the next time we record our show, I do feel like some sort of chaos will erupt, mm-hmm. whether it's in the cage or in the hotel or what. There's too many of these personalities everywhere. Mm-hmm. And the UFC just kind of lets them play, lets them do their thing. So I feel like something big is going to come out of there.
All right, what's number three?
Number three is just fight-wise, Dustin Jacoby and Alonzo Minifield.
That's a good one.
It's going to be a banger.
That's a good one. Fight. Yeah, I see a third-round stoppage. I'm not sure who's going to win this one. I think I like Jacoby a little more because once they've been in our studio, like, I don't know. I don't think Alonzo Minifield ever has. He's been on the show, but Jacoby's cool. I've known him for a long time, even before this latest run. So I guess, yeah, if I had to say, who do you really want to win? I guess it'd be him, but I really don't care as long as both perform at a high level. I would probably almost echo your three, but, man, let me tell you something, Ghost. I think on Saturday night when we're saying so long, everyone, or Monday when we're doing spinning backlick, we're going to have to apologize to Royval and Pantoja. I think that's going to be an awesome fight. I mean, a real scrap. I don't know who's going to win. I think Pantoja is pretty damn good, but I think Royval's also a dog, a raw dog. But I think that fight's just, it's too bad it got swept under I called it the welterweight tsunami. Because I think, you know, flyweights, I love the flyweights. I think it's going to be a great scrap. But, yeah, I'm pretty much on board with all those. And tonight, folks, at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, is pre-fight press conference. So if you want to check it out, go to MMA Junkie at that time and check out the press conference. It's going to stream live 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Check out our Instagrams and Twitters. I'm at MMA Junkie George. Goes is at the Goes. And if either one of us hears any information about the World MMA Awards and where it's being streamed, we will share it. I'm sure it'll be on Junkie as well. And good luck to Nolan King and good luck to MMA Junkie as well. A few other things. Fada Hanoun is going to host with Dan Tom at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific on Saturday, a preview show. So that'll be a few hours before we come on at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific for the beginning of the watch along, the featured prelims. So check out Fada and Dan. They're going to have a great time breaking down the fights, giving you their last minute picks, then the prelims, then the main card. And then next Monday, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, just like we do every Monday, it's live and you can be a part of the show. Spinning Backlick, myself and Goes and a few of our colleagues. I don't know if we already know who's going to be on this week's show, but it should be a lot to unpack. It's going to be great. And early warning, we will skip Spinning Backlick on Christmas Day, and New Year's Day is still to be determined. Anyway, folks, we're going to leave you a little bit early here, but thank you so much, as always, for tuning in. Keep it locked on MMA Junkie. Keep it locked on the YouTube channel in case you miss anything. Follow us on the social medias. All of our socials, the links are on the front page of MMA Junkie. And for those that don't know, the app is free and available on all smartphones. And so all the mobile devices and all the tablets. And every time I tell someone about it and they download it right away because it's free, right away they start fumbling through it and realize, holy cow, this thing has a lot of info and it's dope. So you guys will like it. Anyway, enjoy this week and weekend, and we'll see you all on Saturday for the WOD and be a champion, everybody.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.